Hello, my brothers and sisters. This is Brother Thurman with the ABCs of Christian Growth again, and welcome. I'm glad you come in to study the Word of God with us today. And we're going to have a good day. We're going to get back into the letter Q and study some more about this thing called sex, sexes, sexual love, and sexual perversion. Now, let me just go ahead and reiterate that about that, just talk a little bit about that last recording. There wasn't anything. We were studying that last lesson as Christians, trying to find out what the truth is. Okay, don't you go out there saying that, Brother TV, and I know you wouldn't. But what I mean is, it's not meant for the wrong kind of ears. And if you listen to that last one and you got any complaints or something about the way that I said things and the way that things come out, when I was studying that, I was questioning the Lord about whether or not I ought to take that out of there or not. But the Lord led me to leave it in there so we could see the facts about how this thing come down and know what we're talking about. Now, this ain't anything that you hadn't heard out in society and try to hide from your ears, but we're studying the Word of God. And the Lord taught a lot of, the Lord talked about rubbing dung in people's face. He talked about people, turning people into dung, turning people into the fowl's dung out in the desert. And let the birds eat you and then dung you out there on the desert. And you'd be out on the desert as a pile of dung. We're not taking it that way. Okay? So if you was offended in any way like that, you get a hold of me. And let's talk about that. But I don't think anybody's got any problem with it. I just want to be sure that y'all are okay and that you knew that there was all purity and all truth and all sincerity in that last lesson. We're going to finish that lesson finish that portion of the lesson up today and get on into something that we're going to finish up the timeline, the years of this word sex. Now, we began talking about in that lesson that we didn't have but one scripture last time for me to give you, and that was in Ecclesiastes 9:18. It said, wisdom is better than weapons of war, but one sinner destroyeth much good. And boy, didn't that verse come alive in that last lesson. One sinner destroyeth much good. And that's the way the enemy works. He take one pervert like that, Alfred Kinsey, and put him in society just about the right time with the right kind of wording and the right kind of, oh, well, we're going to have some scientific study here, some scientific this, some scientific that, and pretend to be a scientist instead of and hide all his upstairs in the attic perversion and all his ungodly, wicked, ungodly things and abominable things that he's been doing in private, you know, and then bringing that out in public and deceiving or talking everybody into saying that it's scientific research. And then getting along with a couple other guys that been messing around with babies and messing around with trying to say scientific research is perverting with animals and perverting with little two-month-year-old babies. Those are the ones that need to be executed is what they need to be. The Bible said stone them. And the Lord said get rid of them. And, you know, of course, society don't say anything like that either. The society says let's rehabilitate them. And spend $1 trillion and rehabilitate them. But that's not what the Lord says. But this guy, he came in right around our timeline where we was talking about in about the 1940s and 1950s. 1950s is when he come out with that that shocked the world, that second book of his, 1953, Sexual Behavior in a Human Female. Remember that? And it said it shocked the world. with the things that he said, the explicit revelations that he come out with, and all the things that he talked to them women personally about, and got their little stories and their little nasties of nasties and stuff like that, and put them down in that book. And of course, the fleshly United States about in the 1950s, when it was starting to really get into its technology and starting to break all these barriers and these boundaries and going to the moon and blah, 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 and all this stuff. And everybody getting so proud and stuff like that, and fleshly and technology starting to roll and all this kind of stuff. And the devil just worked all this stuff in there, and then he threw this little research in. And boy, when they had people got a hold of that sexual behavior in a human male and sexual behavior in a human female, started reading that pornography, instead of it having Playboy on the front, it had scientific research. So you could get a copy of this and you could read it and sit home and just fill your old lust up and in the name of scientific research. And then you could read about somebody trying to get a little two-year-old for sometimes and torturing him for 24 hours. A little two-month-old is what it said. A little two-month-old and take him for 24 hours. It said some of them was for 24 hours. And take him and trying to stimulate him in the name of research. Why, you nasty, ungodly pervert. They should have took him and hung him in public. And sometimes I say things just, you're going to find out that I like the truth, and I like to just speak the truth, and just, that's the way I'm going to tell you what, 50 years ago now, we're talking about 50 years ago, but back when the Reformation was going on, and something like this went on, they wouldn't give him 5 minutes. They wouldn't give him 5 minutes. They'd give him enough to find out that two or three men witnessed against him, and then put it in writing, and he's done. But we come on down, and we talked about him, and went through all that garbage that we found out about what he was doing, and his books, and his research, and all this, in the name of research, and found out that Indiana University is hiding all his junk in there, and keeping it from everybody looking at it, and stuff like that, and got almost 20,000 interviews of 20,000 perverts that like to tell their sex secrets and tell their ungodliness and put it down on paper and stuff like that, you know, and become a hero. Hero of the flesh. Hero of the flesh. Now, ain't that what Hollywood's all about anyway? I like it on some of them things that they say, some of them things I was laughing at, and they put one of them commercials on your nasty TV and put one on there and say, these real people, they're not actors. These are real people. They're not actors. Actors ain't real people, see. They're actors. And they like to put fleshly things out there in front of you. And that's all that old media is about anyway, just as far as you can do. You can try to narrate that thing. I did. I had me one, and I got me a bunch of documentaries. I like to watch documentaries and find things out and stuff like that, you know. But all that television and that media stuff, I stay away from. But even watching them documentaries, And them being on CD and watching them and sitting down and watching them, that stupid TV will take a hold of you, and it will control you. It sure will. And you just have to admit it for yourself and admit it to the Lord. I done told the Lord, you know, that thing, I took mine to the dump. I loaded it up, and there wasn't nothing wrong with it. It's still working. I just took it to the dump. My devil fighting me the whole way, and he bothered me for another couple weeks after that, trying to make me feel like a fool for it and everything else. But, it's amazing what kind of time and what you can do instead of sitting in front of that thing. I'd get around that thing, and it would catch me sitting down, and it hold me down there for 12 hours. It hold me down there for 8 hours just sitting there straight, and I'd get mad to have to go to the refrigerator, you know, and just sitting there and programming you. You're a prisoner to your mind. Are you sitting there, and it's like in a concentration camp. Somebody's sitting there, and they tie your hands up and tie your feet up, and put some headphones on you and play some recordings over and over and over and over and over and program you. Ain't no different on that television, except they get to do it through your eyeballs too. And you wonder how come you weren't running around thinking like the world. It's because you're being programmed. That's why. Don't they call it programming? Sure they do. But we talked about some observations about this fella too, about you know, him 50 years after putting out his sexual behavior in a human male and that women's book and put it out about women's sexual behavior. He still remained one of the most influential figures in American intellectual history. All the intellectual people like him. That's interesting. You know, they done a survey one time, asked 100 college students, at least, 100 college students, if they could invite somebody important over to their house for supper, and they would come, who would it be? And out of the top 10, you had Abraham Lincoln, you had and you know, going down through there like that, you know, Eisenhower and going on down through there. And guess where Jesus Christ come in? He brought in number 11. Jesus Christ brought in number 11 with college students about if you could invite anybody over to your house for a meal, who would it be? And oh, the Lord pulled in a mighty 11. How about that? That wasn't that long ago either. But we went on down through there with them observations, and we come up with that somebody also said about Kinsey was that the most profound damage that Kinsey did was to kids. Now, how he got away with that, that was back in the 40s and 50s and 60s when the hippie movement was going on and the Korean War and the Vietnam War and all that was going on. And all that free sex started over in California and all that perversion and people walking around just letting their flesh fly out in the public, you know. And it said, and then all of a sudden this guy's in the background doing research on your kids. And it said to this day his cold dead hand is on the throttle of sexual liberation and the kids are still lying on the tracks right in front of that train. And they are. If you done, I got a study I'm putting together, a presentation concerning suicide and homicide in our nation. And y'all just look it up sometime, take a look at what's going on with people killing themselves in this nation. And the Lord said, he said, he'll let you get so wicked that you can't stand yourself. And that's true. You ought to see what's going on. You ought to find out what the youngest person that ever killed herself and how they did it. Do you know that? How come you don't know? What about your 5-year-olds to 10-year-olds and your 10-year-olds to your 15-year-olds and then your teenagers? What's the statistics of the death, the causes of death for them? Do you know? Why don't you know? All this stuff that's been in the backgrounds of, intellectual research ought to be ashamed of this stuff. If they was any kind of person at all and had any morals at all, that shows you where the intellectual stand in this country. Now, I ain't talking about all of you. There's such thing as Christians that are real smart people, and I appreciate them because they don't get it mixed up. They know who is the intellectual one, and that's God. God's the one that knows everything, no matter what he allows us to know. But I ain't got nothing against smart people. I got something against them using intelligence, because intelligence, wisdom comes from Scripture. The beginning of wisdom is the fear of the Lord. That's what the Bible says. And a man that doesn't fear the Lord and claims to be smart and wise and intelligent and everything else, and he goes for this garbage with this Kinsey and everything and backs up calling all this kind of stuff research, he's an idiot. And he ought to be put right there where Kinsey ought to be put. Imagine Kinsey's in hell. If he was saved and he was doing that, the Lord would have killed him. That's what the Bible says anyway. But I imagine this man with all his perverted things, hanging around with Nazis and all that kind of stuff, you know, walk like a duck, quack like a duck, wave your wings like a duck. Must be a duck. So let's move on with ours. We stopped off in there about 19 and 48 and 53 or somewhere around there when we started talking about Alfred Kinsey, and we went a little forward of ourselves because just talking about him. But we're going to pick up in 1942. Now remember what we're talking about. We're talking about a word. We're talking about a word called sex. We've done some research on it, found out the root of where sex comes from and what it meant, and all from the 14th century to 15th century, all the way up until it started becoming perverted when this pervert got a hold of it. But ever since before 1900, say right around 1901, when they started bringing out these new Bibles and things like that, your preachers stopped preaching doctrine, Bible doctrine, here come the big changes. And this was one of them. But since then, we come all the way down to 1942, and we're finding out. Now, remember what sex meant, and sex means. It didn't meant it. It means it. The only one that put a new meaning and patched a new meaning onto this word and attached a new meaning onto this word is the perverts and the ungodly. Sex does not mean anything having to do with any kind of perversion between the genders or between man with man and women with women and blah-bitty-blah like that and all the ungodly perversion that goes on. Ain't got nothing to do with that. Sex meant division. Sex meant to be divided, to divide, to cut, like the Lord did when he made Adam. And he cut Adam. And he closed up his side thereof, and with that rib he made a woman, and he sexed Adam into two. You have the man and you have the female. You have the male and you have the woman. That's what sex means, and it still means it today. But the Bible does not use the word sex. But when sex started, and it rooted, it began as division. And people used it in public. And when people heard that word, they knew that somebody was talking about one of the divided, either a male or a female. It had nothing perverted in it at all. But now as we come down through history and we get down here to 1942, we find out that the meaning of sex turns into something that says it means to sex something up. In 1942, when you said the word sex, it was talking about sexing something up. Remember, Kinsey's already been around, and he's still around right now, and this thing's starting to change, and it's becoming perverted, and now the word means to sex something up, to increase the sex appeal of it. Sex it up. Sexing it. That's in 1942. And that's not all. 1955. In 1955 was when the first term appeared in print called gender role. The gender role. Now, what's role got to do with being part of a division? A role has absolutely nothing to do. What are you talking about, role? The gender role. You see how these things are changing and they're adding brand new thoughts to this word, and it's being manipulated and it's turning. Now, this is not talking about just with one person. This is talking about in society as a change. In 1955, it was shown up in print for the first time as gender role. And then about 4 years later, in 1959, the first person to whom the term sex symbol showed up. And that was in print and in public, and it was applied and seemed to have been applied to the first person, Marilyn Monroe. Remember that? We're getting pretty close to home now, ain't we? You've seen that on television. Over there messing with the president. But she was a sex symbol standing out on the sidewalk and her dress, the wind blowing her dress up and her acting all innocent and everything and looking all stupid and everything. She had a lot to do with sex symbol. She was the first one for sex symbol to be applied to. Then later on in 1966, the term gender identity was used in the press release in November 21st of 1966, and that was to announce a new clinic for transsexuals in the Johns Hopkins Hospital. It was disseminated in the media worldwide and soon entered into the vernacular. The public accepted it and became normal language. Sex meant gender identity. And it started because of transsexuals announced the new clinic for transsexuals in Johns Hopkins Hospital in 1966. In 1974, now here comes a good one. In 1974, the first term came out was sex therapist. Sex therapist. Now we need sex therapists in 1974. This thing's getting so perverted, now we need somebody to put in there to tell you that you're all right, he's all right, you're all right, we're all right, da-da-da-da-da-da. Sex therapist. Remember what the word meant? Division. Divided. The dividing or the sexing of the whole. Adam was sexed into two, Adam and Eve, man and woman, male and female. Now you need a sex therapist. Now we've seen a complete transformation in that, and this thing coming down through here, and we've taken a little bit of time and come down through history, and you see how it has transformed into the most perverted thing that has that the enemy has used. I don't think he's used any other word any other way. I think if he corrupted America with a word, it would have been that one. And we definitely got the evidence here. Now, we've seen a complete transformation and perversion of this word, sex, haven't we? You see how the enemy's worked down through history? The scariest thing about this is that society was and still is deceived into thinking that it's only scientific research. And that's because society has got so stinking fleshly and ungodly is that it wants its flesh and it wants its fleshly little doodads and little trinkets and its little everything for the flesh. So let's call it scientific research and we can do anything we want. Now, as God's word goes out, is unwanted. In comes perversion and unspeakable things that the Lord says that are abominable. Now, while we're here, let's go ahead and just update all the way. Now, as I'm speaking today, it's January the 19th, 2020. That's when we're doing this recording today. But we're going to update all the way to 2019. That's not that far, about 15, 18 days ago. And see what this word sex means now. Or see some little evidence of what it means now. And then we'll get out of this filth and see what saith the Lord, okay? 2019. I got a little article here that every one of you, I'm not going to say the name. This is a computer. This is something on a computer that millions and millions and millions of people stay on for social media and talk to one another and backbite and lust and all kind of nastiness and everything else that goes on. And this is a lady that found a piece of information about this social media giant on the internet. And this is an article that they put out saying that having to do with sex or gender options is what they call it. In other words, when you're filling out to apply to be part of this thing, and you want to get you want to have your own place on this this site. I'm not very computer literate. If I ain't saying it right, just bear with me. But on this site, you have to fill out, and you know how you do, you join it. And when you join it, it asks you if you're male or female. But instead of asking you if it's male or female now, you can choose one of 58 different gender options. Now, she said, the woman that wrote this article said that that this was just the beginning and this is all that they could track down so far. They said they thought there was as many as 70 or 80 of them. Gender options that you could choose individually about what you are. Now, remember what sex means. The division of the whole. Talking about a male and a female. A man and a woman. Adam and Eve. But here, in 2019, you can join a social media thing, and you can choose. I got 58 of them I'm going to read to you. You can choose one out of this, and if it ain't, if you're not found on here of what you are, then you can make one up. This place has gone nuts. Listen to this. I'm gonna use the word blank whenever you'll understand what I mean. All right, now here's a list of 58 gender options for blank users by blank blank February the 13th, 2014. This is what this. Computer site or whatever you want to call it. You'd know if I say it. I don't know whether I'll say it or not, but I ain't going to. But anyway, because the devil would use that and he'd try to make a big deal out of it. And even though it's the truth and you can look it up right now. But anyway, it's by a news person that does these kind of things. All right, it says, blank introduced dozens of options for users to identify their gender today. And although the blank, blank giant said it would not be releasing a comprehensive list, blank news has found at least 58 so far. Previously, users had to identify themselves as male or female. They were also given the option of not answering or keeping their gender private. Well, that's okay. Users can now select a custom gender option. There's going to be a lot of people for whom this is going to mean nothing, but for the few it does impact, it means the world. Blank software engineer, blank, blank, told a blank press that blank, who worked on the project, is in the process of gender transformation from male to female. Blank will also allow users to select between three pronouns, him, her, or their. How about that? Let me read them to you. The following are 58 gender options identified by Blank News Network 2019. Here we go. If you're signing up for this, to be part of this computer thing here, you can put yourself down as a gender, capital A gender, or you can call yourself androgyny, or you can call yourself androgynous. You can call yourself bi-gender. You can call yourself cis. I don't know what that is. Capital C-I-S. Or you can call yourself cisgender. Or you can call yourself cis-female. Or you can call yourself cis-male. Or cis-man. Or cis-woman. Or cisgender female. You see how nuts these idiots are? Or you can call yourself trans star with a little star, like on your computer keypad there, with a star. You can call yourself a trans star female. Or you can call yourself a trans male. Or a trans star male. Or a trans man. Or a trans star man. Or a trans person. Or a transmasculine, or a transsexual, or a transsexual female, or a transsexual male. And that's just the first row. Here's some more. You can call yourself a cisgender male, or a cisgender man, or a cisgender woman. Or you can call yourself a female to male. Or you can just put it in capital letters and call it, I'm a FTM. You can call yourself gender fluid. That is a gender option to identify yourself. Gender fluid. Or you can call yourself gender nonconforming. Or gender questioning. Or gender variant. Or gender queer. That's probably the closest one. Or you can call yourself intersex. Or trans star person. Or trans woman, or trans star woman, or trans feminine, or transgender, or transgender female, or transsexual man, or transsexual person, or transsexual woman. Or you can call yourself male to female. Or you can break it down in just capital letters and call yourself a MTF. And then there's one interesting one right here that is a option for a gender when you join this. It's called neither. I'm a neither. This ain't the world. We just think this is the world. We're not really here. Or you can call yourself neutrosis or neutrois. N-E-U-T-R-O-I-S. I looked that up, and there's no such thing as a definition for that. So I'm trying to figure out what that meant. I figure the new part means you're nuts. Or you can call yourself non-binary. You can call yourself other. You can call yourself pangender. Call yourself trans. You can call yourself trans star. Or call yourself trans female. You can call yourself transgender male, transgender man, transgender person, or transgender woman. Or you can call yourself two-spirit. And that's 58 of them. But that was just the beginning. It's probably 70 or 80 of them. Are you getting this? This is coming from the 14th century of meaning what the Bible says or what the Bible describes as truth that we read in Genesis of what God did with one man. And he sexed him, took his rib out, and made a woman. And he divided that man into two, a male and a female, a man and a woman. And now, in the great year of 2019... you got one place on the internet, a social media place that you can join, that you can pick all these and call yourself that in the name of sex. Under sex or gender, they call it gender now, sex gender options. What are you? This place has gone nuts. Listen to this. That's what Romans chapter 1, verse 28 through 32 says. Listen to it carefully. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which do such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. Yep, there it is. We're talking about sexes, sexual love, and sexual perversion. Well, we sure have seen it go from purity to perverted, hadn't we? All right. Now we know what man has done to the meaning of the word sex. It's become one of the most misused, perverted words of all time. It went from its purity, the very simple to understand, meaning denoting the two categories male and female, either of the main divisions, male and female, in which living things are placed, on the basis of their reproductive functions, where they come in when it comes to multiplying, like God said, being fruitful. To some godless mess that is absolutely has absolutely no sensible meaning to it, but perverted nonsense that caters to nothing but wicked fleshly desires. Well, if it's not that, what is it? How are you going to justify that filth and where this word has gone to and what the meaning of all this has gone to from the scriptures in Genesis all the way down to 2019? How are you going to justify that stuff and say that it's makes any kind of sense to you ask any 5 or 6 year old child what any of these genders mean? And there might be one or two in society now that's over in the fruit neighborhood or whatever that could tell you that they've corrupted their mind already. But any child that you pick out that's just living in normal society could not answer any of these. Susie, yes, yeah, Brother TV. What is a cis man? Huh? Susie, yeah, Brother TV. What is a FTM? How about a gender fluid? Susie, do you know what a gender fluid is? How about gender nonconforming? How about a gender queer? Susie don't know any of that. If you ask Susie, say, Susie, what's your first name? Susie, Brother TV. What's your last name? Martin, Brother TV. Susie Martin, right? Okay, got that down. Now, are you a boy or a girl? If you had to call yourself something, what would you call yourself? I'm a girl, Brother TV. Are you sure you're a girl? Yes, I'm a girl. She look at you like you're stupid. We got adults that can't figure that out in the name of intellect and in the name of research. You tell me who's going to fall off the wagon. Brothers and sisters in Christ, we should be thanking our beautiful Lord every time we think of Him for not changing His holy integrity. He still remains the same, and His Word, the King James Bible, has not changed what it declares concerning sex. Let's study what the Holy Scriptures say about our question, what about sexes, sexual love, and sexual perversion? All right, so let's get out of the filth and get into what the Bible says. Okay? And that's what we're going to do right now. The first category we're going to talk about is sexes. Sexes. Notice the word sex is involved in this word. Sexes, plural. Well, sex and sexes, we talked about before, and you're going to know this time we're done, means division. When we're talking about sexes, and that's our topic now, we've already studied the word sex and where it was and where it went to. Now we're going to study sexes. Well, the word sex and sexes means division, denoting the two categories, male and female. Not 58 other stupid, ignorant, perverted, nasty, ungodly wickedness. Male or female. Either of the main divisions, male and female, in which living things are placed on the basis of their reproductive functions. That's what it means. And if you got any kind of sense about you or sensibility about you, that's what you think of it. Even little children describe it and define it as that, and they don't even know why. Little children only know that there's only males and females, even in the animal world. You don't see any animals running around calling themselves trans queers. All right, sexes. Let's look at a couple topics. Letter A, the creation of the sexes, male and female. What does the Bible say? Well, in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 26 and 27, the Bible said, "And God said, let us make man in our image." Now, when He said us, there you see the Trinity in that, don't you? Let us make man in our image after our likeness. And let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over the cattle and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in His own image. In the image of God created He him. Male and female created He them. It don't get no clearer than that. When it comes to sexes, that's our topic. The creation of the sexes, male and female. Did you get that? Man did not come from some stupid, drug-induced, monkey-fied pool of soup that turned into a rock and some nut lied about. God made them. God made them. Number two, that's not all. It was and is for sexes. Was and is for. Why did God create the male and the female? Why did He create the sexes? Well, He created them for union. Look what the Bible says. Genesis chapter 2 and verse 23 through 25 says, "And Adam said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of the man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave, union, unto his wife, and they shall be one union flesh. And they were both naked, the man and his wife." There's for all you I am woman women. "And his wife, and his wife, and his wife, and his wife. Naked, and the man and his wife were not ashamed." Were not ashamed. So for union. The creation of the sexes, we're talking about sexes now. The creation of the sexes, male and female, that God created, was for union. It was and is for union. That's why God created two of them and sexed them and divided them into male and female so that they could come together in union. God's intention for the sexes were to be one, man and his wife. And doesn't say anything about until you are tired of it. Or like one of out of every two today end in divorce in the good old United States of America. Well, he hurt my feelings. Or she hurt my feelings. People got no dignity or integrity or long-suffering or forgiveness. Or people are not even mature enough to do what they say they're going to do anymore. They have no devotion to anything anymore. The sexes were and are for unity, for life. The Bible hasn't changed. It was for, and not only for union, but the sexes were for helpfulness. For helpfulness. The Bible says in Genesis chapter 2 and verse 18, "And the Lord God said, it is not good that man should be alone. I will make him an help meet for him." You know why he was made, woman? To help the man. Are you helping him? The Bible says that the reason for the sexes, the reason for the division, the reason for the dividing, the reason for the man and woman is for union, for them to come together as one. And it was also for helpfulness, Genesis chapter 2, 18. And that's not all. The Bible says it was for procreation. The reason that God had the sex and made the sexes, the creation of the sexes, the male and female, that God created, not some stinking evolutionistic, imaginary, theatrical monkey. God made them. And it was for union. It was for union, and it is for union. Even today, no matter what man comes up with his nasty, filthy books and research. It was for healthfulness. Helpfulness. And it's also for procreation. That's why God made a man and a woman, so they could procreate, multiply, replenish the earth. The Bible says in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 28, "And God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth." What a blessing. The Bible says that God blessed them. That was the first thing that verse said. God blessed them. How did he bless them? He blessed them by giving them permission. And when I say them, I'm talking about a man and a woman, not a man and a man and a woman and a woman. Notice just by that, be fruitful. A man and a man can't be fruitful. A woman and a woman cannot be fruitful unless you recruit children. You can't make them, but a man and a woman can. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply, make lots of kids, and replenish the earth and subdue it. And have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. Isn't that man's dream anyway? To be a blessing to God, to have God's blessing on him, to be able to be fruitful with a wife and multiply and have lots of kids and then subdue the earth and have dominion over the fish, over the fowl, and over every living thing that moveth on the earth. What more could a man want or a woman want? You know, I am woman, and all you proud women that run around out there, when it's all over, said, and done, that's what you end up wanting anyway, isn't it? The Bible says it's for procreation. I don't know how many women I've met that have went after their careers and went after this and went after that, and after it's all over, said and done, they said, I just want to have a baby. You can't get rid of God, put what God made you and what God put in you. You can walk around with that big vain facade that you put on in front of the mirror every morning, but when you get back home and wipe it all off, you're still the same person. And what God made you is going to remain there whether you do what you told or not. And you men, the creation of sexes, we're talking about sexes now, male and female. It was by God. It was and is for union, helpfulness, procreation, and that's not all. It's for sexual needs. The sexual needs of the sexes, of the divided, God put in as a desire in both male and female, in the purest and the holiest and the godliest manner. Not this fleshly, nasty, filthy, perverted stuff that's going on in the world today. God made the sexes, male and female, for the purpose of their sexual needs. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 5, Proverbs chapter 5 and verse 17 through 19, it says, let them be only thine own, and not strangers with thee. Let thy fountain be blessed, and rejoice with the wife of thy youth. Let her be as the loving hind and pleasant roe. Let her breast satisfy thee at all times, and be thou ravished always with her love. The Bible's not ashamed to talk about the sexes, the union of man and woman, becoming husband and wife, and becoming one, and coming together with their sexual needs. As a matter of fact, that's in the Old Testament, and it's also in the New Testament addressed. That you not deny one another, or defraud one another. That the man's body is not his own, it's the woman's body. And the woman's body is not her own, it's the man's body. They are not two, they are one. And when one of them has a desire, it is the responsibility of the other to satisfy that and not to defraud it. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 1 through 4. Now concerning the things whereof ye wrote unto me, it is not good for a man, or it is good for a man not to touch a woman. Nevertheless, to avoid fornication, that's the filth that we just went over. To avoid fornication, let every man have his own wife. The Bible says if you can't do without, if you cannot handle your flesh and the desire that God put in you, and you cannot abstain, then you are to marry in order to take care of the sexual need. Because that is the way that God made it, man and woman for union and for, to fulfill the sexual needs. Now, listen to what the Bible says. Now, concerning the things whereof ye wrote unto me, it is not good for a man, it is good for a man not to touch a woman. He ain't talking about hugging her and kissing her like y'all do in church and slobbering all over each other, which is wicked. The Bible says for a man not to touch a woman. You know why? Because it sets that stinking flesh on fire is what it does. One little old touch go all the way through you. Now concerning the things whereof ye wrote unto me, it is good for a man not to touch a woman. Nevertheless, to avoid fornication. In other words, if a man touches a woman, you mean to tell me that fornication can come out of it? That's what it says, isn't it? Nevertheless, to avoid fornication, let every man have his own wife, and let every woman have her own husband. Let the husband render unto the wife due benevolence. In other words, you're supposed to give her what is her due, what she has as a woman in a sexual manner, as a division, as a sexed, one of the sexed of the division. She has a desire, and it has to be fulfilled. And the reason, one reason that she got married and has her husband is that he can render due benevolence unto her. And likewise also the wife unto the husband. It's not a bargaining chip. It is to avoid fornication and sinning against your God. The wife hath not power of her own body, but the husband. And likewise also the husband hath not power of his own body, but the wife. Are you getting this? So let's recap a little bit. We're on the subject of sexes. The division, the divided, the two categories, the male and female. The divisions in which living things are placed on the basis of their reproductive functions, even in the animal world. But we're particularly talking about human beings that God created in His own image. The sexes. First thing about the sexes is that they was created, the creation of the sexes. Where'd they come from? How'd they get here? How were they divided? Into male and female only is what they were divided into, according to Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. So everything else other than what God says is a lie when it comes to creation of the sexes, male and female. And that's probably why they're coming up with all these other genders and blabbity, blabbity, blab, and they're all imagination and they're all made up and they have to change their bodies in to conform into something else, because you can name whatever you want to name and call it whatever you want to call it, but when you open your eyes and look, there's only male and female. And the only way you can make anything else is to cut it and destroy it again and change it up and sew it back up together however you want it to look like. Because you can't find anything else on the planet other than a male and a female. Let God be true and every man a liar. It was by God. Secondly, it was and is for union. The creation of the sexes was and is for union, for helpfulness, for procreation, and also for sexual needs. The male's needs, needing the female, and the female's needs, needing the male. To avoid fornication, let them marry and have their own wife and their own husband. That's what the Bible says. Now, if you ain't interested in what the Bible says, that's where you stand. And you'll answer for that in front of the Lord, face to face one day. And He'll ask you, how come, did you know my word? God doesn't work around your feelings, and He doesn't work around your opinion, and He doesn't work around what you think is right and wrong. It's what does the Bible say? Now, you either want to conform to what God says, and you want to live like God says, and you want to do things right, or you want to have it the way your flesh wants to have it, and that's why we got all the problems that we have in the world today when it comes to the sexes, the male and female. You see how it went from purity all the way to this perverted ungodliness that it is? God didn't do all that to that word. Man, in a matter of hundreds of years has perverted that thing into a completely different meaning. Just, and that's probably the whole reason. It's probably not the first time this has happened. It's a replay of what happened before God, before the deluge, before God flooded this whole place and killed everybody and saved only 8 people. And guess what they were? The sexed, male and female. All right. Well, we're going to stop right there, and we'll pick up again and carry on into this thing. We're talking about the sexes, and we have finished up the trashy and the nasty part of what happened to that word, and come from its purity to its come from its purity to its perversion. And now we're going to into the actual part of what we the question is, what about sexes and sexual love and sexual perversion? Well, we begin on sexes today, and the sexes are male and female. They were created by God, and it was by God that they come about. God created male and female, and it was for and is for union, for helpfulness, for procreation, and for sexual needs. And next, when we start again, we'll talk about the regulation concerning the sexes. The regulations concerning the sexes and what the Bible says about it. Okay? All right. Well, I hope you've enjoyed this this recording. And this is not brand new news. It might be brand new news to some of you. I believe that there are people in society today that have no idea that God created male and female and what he created them for. Or that he even created them. When I was a boy in school in my younger years, I remember them taking me out of class because they had, because it legally came down and every school had to give everybody an option of whether or not they wanted to sit in sex education class. And I think the reason they took me out was because I didn't want to be in it. Because I remember being taken out of it, and they went ahead and had their class. But I remember when that started. That was back in the early 60s. I remember when that started. And they started making a division. They started teaching their sex education. The Lord's been teaching it for a long time, hadn't he? What about the sexes, sexual love and sexual perversion? We'll talk about this some more on our next recording. Thank you for joining us. I'll give you the couple scriptures on the next one, okay? Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse 18, and Romans chapter 1, verse 28 through 32. And then we had a couple in the sexes right there. I'll give those to you next time, okay? The Lord bless you, and thank you for your patience and your devotion to our Lord. And purity and honesty and holiness. Bye-bye.